gentleman moderators, Mr. Ramsey, ladies and gentlemen, I'm certainly happy to be here before you for the next 20 minutes in further affirmation of the sufficiency of the New Testament of Jesus Christ in religious matters. Although Mr. Ramsey signed to deny this proposition, he said that he came to affirm the first two nights, but he came to deny tonight and tomorrow evening, but he did not see fit to take up the arguments that I presented. So the arguments that I presented stands as they were presented in the first speech. But I have several questions I would like to present to Mr. Ramsey for his consideration. And I'm going to give him a copy that he won't have to copy them down as I read them off. Number one, does the Book of Mormon contain the fullness of the gospel? Number two, did Oliver Cowdery and David Whitmer tell the truth when they said that Joseph Smith changed the name of the church? Number three, name one thing that a person must believe in order to be saved eternally that is not taught in the New Testament. Number four, must a person believe and obey the everlasting covenant of polygamy as revealed in Doctrines and Covenants 132 in order to enter into the Lord's glory? Number five, has the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints received any new revelations from God since 1847 A.D.? If so, what are they? Those are five simple questions, and I want him to give attention to them now. I've given him five questions each night, and he has the right to give me some questions if he wants to. And I've asked him to deal with them and take whatever time was necessary to study them, but he hasn't seen fit to deal with but about two each evening. Well, maybe this evening he'll get to at least three of them. But I would like to encourage him to consider these, because these would help pinpoint some of the issues that are between us. Now, since in my first speech I set forth affirmative material that substantiates the proposition that he did not answer, then I intend to notice that the things that he did say does not overthrow what I said before. But I would like to make, first of all, just a few statements concerning the all-sufficiency of the New Testament of Jesus Christ. I'd like to show from John 16 and verse 13 that the Holy Spirit was to guide the apostles into all truth. But the Holy Spirit did not guide the apostles into Mormonism. Therefore, Mormonism is not of the truth. Now, that's simple. Then 2 Peter 1:3, Peter tells us that God revealed all things that pertain in life and to godliness to Christians in the apostolic age. But this revelation did not include the Book of Mormon, or the D&C, or the Pearl of Great Price. Therefore, the Book of Mormon and these other books do not pertain unto life and to godliness. Now, these are very simple syllogisms. Now, if the major premise and the minor premise are true and properly related to each other, then the conclusion must follow. We observe that 2 Corinthians 3:6 teaches the apostles were able ministers of the New Testament, but the apostles were not ministers of the Book of Mormon, and Mr. Ramsey won't say that they were. I'm talking about the 12 apostles in the land of Palestine. Therefore, the Book of Mormon is not the New Testament. Galatians 1 and verse 8 and 9 show that a curse is upon anyone who preaches another gospel than that which was preached by the apostles in the first century. But the Book of Mormon contains another gospel. Therefore, a curse is upon those who preach it. In Matthew 28 and verse 18, Jesus said, "All power is given to me in heaven and in earth." Now, since Christ has all power, all authority, then that means that Joseph Smith had none. Not a bit more than the Pope of Rome has. And that's just not easy. In Hebrews 1, in verse 1 through 3, we learn that God in times past spake to the fathers by the prophets, but in these last days spoken to us by His Son. Now, this rules out these latter-day revelations because God had spoken at the time the writer was speaking. We observe also that in Jude 3, and that's on the chart here, now, he referred to the one faith, but he did not deal with an argument I made on it. Jude said that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Or he said, I believe in one faith. But the point is, it had been delivered in the first century. Mormonism was no part of it. Therefore, the one faith is no part of Mormonism or vice versa. So you can see again that my proposition stands. And so the reason why that he won't take up these arguments is because he simply doesn't know how. You know, he mentioned that he had been farming all of his life, or most of his life, and he said he'd worked for about 18 years in some kind of a metal factory. And he just went out preaching and said he never did get paid for it, but he made his living this other way. Well, I tell you what, if he didn't do any better trying to farm and trying to work in metal than he had trying to preach the gospel here, he'd starve to death if he was trying to make his living preaching. I'll guarantee you that's so. Because anybody that would pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ like he has, if he did his farming like that, he worked in a factory like he's mutilated the Word of God in his efforts, then he'd starve to death trying to get paid preaching the gospel. There's no question about that. But I want us to notice the several things that he said. You know, he said to start with he believed the Bible, he believed that God inspired it, and then he began to attack it. You know, I can't understand a person that says he believes that God inspired the New Testament. Then he starts raising all kinds of doubts about whether or not we even had it. Did you notice that? Now, if I were an infidel, I would have done just exactly like he did. I would try to get people to believe that since we don't have the original manuscripts, that no doubt we don't have the true Word of God, that it's been corrupted, and we don't have any way of knowing, and I'd start making the very same type arguments that this man made here tonight. And that is exactly the type arguments that Mr. Thomas Paine made when he wrote a book called Age of Reason. Now, Mr. Paine attacked the Bible. He was not a Bible believer, and he wrote this book, and notice what he said on page 206. There was no such book as the New Testament till more than 300 years after the time that Christ is said to have lived. This man said that you didn't have it till the 4th century. That's a little over 300 years, isn't it? Did you read this book? Is that where you got that argument, Mr. Brandon? He must have gotten that out of me. Now, I want you to notice that. That's the very argument Mr. Paine made here, and he attacked the Bible, and he didn't believe the Bible, and tried to show it was false. And this man made the same argument. Have you been reading this book? Now, isn't that a shame, neighbors and friends? Now, here it is. The very argument he made is found here on page 206. Now, notice something else, and he made this argument too. I believe he's been reading this book. It says, quote, the originals, talking about the original manuscripts, and remember what he said about that, the originals are not in the possession of any Christian church existing. That's exactly what he said. See, that he admitted he said it. And so you can see then that he's making the same arguments to overthrow the book of God that was made by an avowed infidel. Now what about it? Now what would this man do if he didn't believe the Bible was so? If he'd make this kind of attack on it, since he says it is inspired of God, what if he was an infidel, what would he say about it? Anybody who wants to read these statements are free to check the book of Age of Reason by Thomas Paine. That's exactly what he did. But I'd like to read what Mr. Brigham Young, the Second President of the Mormon Church, had to say. Quote, take the Bible just as it reads. And if it be translated incorrectly, and there is a scholar on earth who professes to be a Christian, and he can translate it better, any better than King James translators did, he's on an obligation to do so. If I understood Greek and Hebrew, as some may profess to do, and I knew the Bible was not correctly translated, I should feel myself bound by the law of justice to the inhabitants of the earth to translate that which is incorrect and give it just as it was spoken anciently. Is that proper? Yes, I'd be on obligation to do it. But I think it is translated just as correctly as the scholars together. Although it is not correct in a great many instances, but it is no matter about that. Read it, observe it. It will not hurt any person in the world. And that's in journal. That's in Discourses of Brigham Young, page 124. Now, Brigham Young, who claimed to be a prophet of God, said that if somebody thinks that it's not correctly translated, why doesn't he translate it correctly? Why doesn't he do so? That's what I'm asking him too. And then we notice further that he said, the Bible is good enough just as it is. It will answer my purpose. It used to answer it very well when I was preaching in the world. The Bible is good enough as it is. But Mr. Andrew doesn't think so. He doesn't know whether you can trust it or not. And he attacked it, and then he said, well, we use it. And I wonder why. Since you don't know what it's for or not, why do you quote from it? Why would a man quote from the Bible if he doesn't know whether it's for or not? He quoted from the Bible to try to prove that it's not what it ought to be. He tried to cast a reflection on it by quoting from it. Now, if it's wrong, if it's incorrectly translated, then why would you quote from it to try to prove that it's wrong? But I'd like to read also what a Mormon scholar had to say along this line. He says, the real message of the Bible has been preserved, unimpaired, and is confirmed by every new translation. That message continues to be the greatest ever given to man. That's John A. Whitsoe, Evidences and Reconciliations, page 101, Mormon scholar. And so really, this man doesn't know where to go. He's attacking the Bible. Doesn't know where to go. He knows the Bible contradicts the Book of Mormon. He can't take both of them. He's not going to give up the Book of Mormon. And so he's going to attack the Bible, try to cause you to think that it's not so. And then we notice also that he said that Joseph Smith promised the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said he had authority to. Well, where did he get his authority? I tell you where he claimed to have gotten it. He claimed to have gotten it from an angel while Smith was yet a sinner. And yet he claims that a sinner can't receive the priesthood and authority to exercise the ordinances thereof. But he claims that's when he got it. He received the priesthood before he was baptized as a sinner, lost, received the priesthood. That didn't give him any authority. That's just an assumption. And in fact, D&C 84 and verse 17 and 18, Smith claimed he got a revelation about the priesthood. And I want everybody to notice this very carefully. Quote, "Which priesthood continueth in the church of God in all generations, and is without the beginning of days or end of years. And the Lord confirmed a priesthood upon Aaron and his seed throughout all their generations, which priesthood also continueth and abideth forever with the priesthood which is after the holiest order of God," unquote. Now this proves, if it proves anything, if God were speaking this, it proves that neither the Melchizedek nor the Aaronic priesthood was ever taken from the earth. That it continued in all generations, and so Smith, if he received this from God, was not telling the truth when he made light. He received the priesthood by the hand of an angel because there's nobody on earth that could give it to him. Then where was John at that time? John the Apostle. Mormonism says that John the Apostle was still living. Didn't he have a right to confer it? If it was to be conferred, the truth about it is there is no such thing as the Aaronic priesthood in this dispensation of time. Back before the law changed, there was the Aaronic priesthood. But Hebrews 7:12 says that there was a change of law necessitated also a change of the priesthood, or vice versa. The very fact that priesthood changed showed there'd be a change of the law. The priesthood changed from Aaronic priesthood to that of Judah. Jesus Christ being of the tribe of Judah. Jesus Christ was not of the priestly tribe under the law, yet he became priest. He's our high priest, and Mr. Ramsey's asked me about what authority I have and where is the priesthood. I belong to the royal priesthood that Peter speaks of in 1 Peter 2. He mentions the fact that Christians are of the royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, and Jesus Christ is the high priest. There it is, Mr. Ramsey. Then we observe also that he said that Mr. Sutton got his argument from a little pamphlet out front, who got it from some enemies of the church, and something along that line. Well, now, the truth about it is that what I've quoted, I've shown exactly where I quoted it from. And in most cases, instead of it coming from the enemies of the church, it came from the authorities of the church, and Mr. Ramsey knows it. Now, he knows that's so. And he told the story when he said, "I got this from the little tract because I made every one of these charts 12 years ago and didn't see the tract till 2 months ago." So he won't tell the truth about that. Are you inspired of God, Mr. Ramsey? Are you? Now that's the truth about it. In Illinois, I made every one of these charts 12 years ago in the Bay of the Mormon in Illinois. And I didn't see this thing about 2 or 3 months ago. So he doesn't know how to keep the facts straight. He just assumes, asserts, he jumps. Then he lands in the water. Hot. And then he said, he tried to get me to say something about the inspired version of the Bible, and he says, "I couldn't say anything about it," he said, "I don't know much about it." Now here's what I'm talking about. Here's a book that's called Inspired Version, and it was translated allegedly by Joseph Smith Jr. Now this is a product of a man that this man says is a true prophet of God, and he says, "I don't know anything about it." Why don't you learn something about it? Would you live how many years in the Mormon church and not try to find out something about an inspired translation by a true prophet of God? Don't you respect him? I don't believe you think as much of him as I do, because at least I did get his book. Yeah, I won't be able to expose him, Mr. Ramsey. That's right. And did you notice how that many, many of the passages, in fact, by far, the greatest percentage of the passages that he quotes them from the King James Version, and that's the way they are in this so-called inspired version, but he thinks the King James just go up. If it is, this news in most cases, because there's only a certain amount of changes here, it's not as great as some might think. He just got a little wild at times, and he'd start reading off things that weren't there. And then he said something about said you didn't have the English Bible until 1611. So he doesn't know more about the translations, obviously, and versions of the Bible than he does about these other matters. Now, the truth about it is, there were a number of English translations before 1611. What about Cloverdale's translation? What about Bishop's? What about Wycliffe's? See, he doesn't know anything about it. He just gets up here and talks. I think you better go back to farm. I think I would if I didn't know more about it than that. Somebody told me that that Church of Christ preacher from East Albuquerque really had his hands full because this was the smartest fellow in this part of the country. And I came loaded for bear. And I was disappointed because a little squirrel popped up. Now, I don't say that boastfully, but he said so much about these things. He said, I'm not here in ignorance. I know all. He said, the first night, I'm not here in ignorance. I know I've studied their history. I know all about the Mormon church. I know this, know that. And he won't tell the truth about a lot if he does know it. And there's something wrong, Mr. Ramsey. You know, you hurt my feelings tonight. You really did. When you implied that the New Testament of Jesus Christ is not inspired of God. You implied that by making all of these accusations against it. And you said there's 16 books mentioned in the Bible that's left out of the Bible. You implied then we don't even have all of it. I guess if I were to write Mr. Ramsey a letter and I mentioned a letter to Howard and one to Jim and one to Joe, he'd think all three of them had to be in my letter. I guess that's what he'd think. That's what he's reasoning about the Bible. Mr. Ramsey, don't you know better than that? He doesn't know any better than that. Well, he ought to learn, don't he? Well, now let me show you something. Now, if I were to write you a letter, and in that letter I were to write you, I were to mention one to Howard, and one to Joe, and one to Jim, would you think all three of those ought to be in mine? And would mine be incomplete because those three weren't in it? Now, he said he didn't know any better. Well, I hope he can learn better. That's exactly the way that he's dealing with the Word of God. And then he said that if the Book of Mormon is the Word of God, and I bear testimony that it is, and you don't accept it, you'll be lost. But neighbors and friends, if it's not the Word of God, and I bear testimony that it's not, if you do accept it, you'll be lost eternally in hell fire. I testify that it's false. And I've shown by divine testimony that inspired in God's book that such is the case. And he keeps saying, why don't you ask God whether or not it's so? I've done asking, Mr. Ramsey. I asked him a number of years ago. And I found out the answer. He told me to study to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, right dividing word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. I did that. I found out all of this Mormonism is false. I asked him the way he says ask. And he told me the way he tells folks things, through his word. And you don't know a thing he hasn't told you through the word either. And he hasn't told you much because you haven't listened to what his word has to say. We notice also that he wanted to know how long it was from the time that Christ ascended heaven till he came down on the road to Damascus with the Apostle Paul and later he appeared to John. I didn't know he came down on the road. I just thought that the Bible showed that Paul saw him, but I didn't know necessarily he said he came down on the road. Well, I thought you said, maybe I'm wrong about that. Well, no, I didn't. I'm sorry. Yeah, Paul's on the road to Damascus, and I thought you said that Jesus Christ appeared there. I thought he came to earth then. No, well, maybe he didn't, but I'm sorry. Didn't, but I thought that's what you're saying. But he's going to come back to earth one of these days. The Bible teaches he is, but he's not going to set up a kingdom because he's in existence now. Revelation 1 shows that John was in it. Hebrews 12 shows that we're in it. And Colossians 1:13-14 shows that the Colossians were in it. So he's not coming back to do it. He's already done it. And we must accept what he's already put in here for us. Then he said, now read where the Lord fed 5,000 and tell how many times you have to read it before you get filled up. I tell you what, Mr. Ramsey. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added in Matthew 6:33. I believe what the Lord said, don't you? You obviously don't. You don't. Can you read that verse and get filled? He doesn't believe the promises of God. When the Lord says, seek first the kingdom, and he'll give you your necessities, if you seek first the kingdom, he'll give it to you. The word of God is quick and is powerful, Hebrews 4:12 says. Romans 1:16 says, the gospel is God's power to salvation, but this man thinks the word of God is a dead letter unless they have somebody on earth that claims authority to just hand it out to somebody. And that isn't what the Bible teaches at all.